Shalom, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Chayesara. As we prepare for Chayesara, I'd like to share with you a couple of thoughts, as usual, on this parsha. We're learning Misatis Kedushin, and of course, there is significant discussion about how Eliezer, Eved Avraham, was able to be a shliach, to be Mekadesh Rivka for Yitzchak. Of course, it's possible he didn't give a Kedushin. It's possible he did. According to those who say he did, the question is, how does that work? And Eved is not eligible to be a shliach for Kedushin since he himself doesn't have Kedushin. The Hartzvi ala Torah, he says an answer, which is a chiddush. The Hartzvi says the following. Again, the question is, Yitzchak wanted to be Mekadesh Rivka, he has to make a shliach to do the Kedushin. And Eliezer is not eligible to be a shliach, so how did that work? So he answers, based on a Machna Ephraim, Machna Ephraim is Hilchus Shluchim Ois Tezvav, and Machna Shluchim, the Machna Ephraim is not talking about marriage, he's talking about appointing a shliach to purchase something for you. And he says the following chiddush about kedushei kesef, about buying things with money. As you all know, certain things are purchased with cash. Cash makes the chalois hakinyan. Meaning, if I give someone money for a rental for an apartment or for a purchase of karka, by handing the money to the person, that's a kinyan. And after that, neither party can back out without the permission of the other. Once the kinyan is done, it's done. So if I go to my landlord and I give him money for a rental, so once that's done, neither side could back out. What happens if I send it through a shliach? Well, the shliach is a Jew, yesh v'shlichus. It's also the same thing as if I sent it, shluchei shel adon kamaisei. What happens if I send it through a non-Jew? What happens if I give the money to a non-Jew to bring to him? For example, a mailman. Let's say I put cash in the mail, and I'm sending it to him with a mailman. Now, the mailman hands it to him, but the mailman is not a shliach. Well, to be honest, the Machta Ephraim doesn't talk about a mailman. He talks about a non-Jew who's a shliach. But as you'll see in a moment, it will be the same thing if you sent it in the mail and you did it for a kinyan, so that it should be binding, it should bind the rental. So, the Machta Ephraim, a chiddush gadol, says you don't need that the middleman should be a shliach. As long as the one who's sending is sending the money to perform a kinyan, and the one who's receiving it is receiving it to perform a kinyan, the fact that it's sent through somebody doesn't require shlichus. He calls it maisa kuf ba'alma. It's no different than if I would roll it on the floor and like a bowling ball and roll it to him, and it would come to him. It's no different than if I send it to the carrier pigeon. He says that the kinyan could be done. That's not Machta Ephraim's chiddush. The kinyan could be done as long as, of course, both sides have in mind the kinyan, even if the money is sent through a non-shliach. Says the Hartzvi, the same thing about Kedushin. Kedushin, well, you don't have to physically hand it to her. You put it down, you talk to pick it up off the floor, it also works. So Memela, you don't need shlichus, and Memela, it worked. A beautiful teretz, a nice idea, the Machta Ephraim and Hilchus Shluchim. The problem I have is that we're learning Misatis Kedushin, and we're deep into the idea that part of the act of Kedushin is the Amira. The Amira meaning the statement by the husband, Harayat v'kudesh esli b'tabazu, because that's what you saw. When you say, when you give Kedushin, you say something. How the Amira is a portion of the Kenyan. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, on Hayamid Beis, Nasa and Huva Amrahi, if she declared, give me the money for Kedushin, and he did the handing over of the money of Kedushin, the Gemara says, Sveiki, it's questionable if that works. Rashi learns, It's missing in kiyikach. The marriage requires the man to be the active partner in the acquisition. So he has to do the giving of the money, And he has to say the Amira. He has to declare that he's doing it for Kiddush. As I state, that's what it says in the Gemara. Sfeiki is something of a suffix. There's machlaikis if suffix means a suffix in halacha, whether the giving over is adequate. That's how Rabbi Kiva Hager learns. Or if the suffix is a suffix in Metzias, meaning we don't know the das, we don't know the intention of the man if she said the Amir. Either way, Kedusha requires witnesses, and witnesses have to know the knowledge of both sides, the intent of both sides. If so, this seems to be somewhat problematic, because when you buy a house and you send the money with a carrier pigeon, that's fine. But when you do a Kedusha and you send it with a carrier pigeon, that's not fine. There's no Amira. There's no declaration of intent. And that's part of the Kedusha. The Pashas, that's a part of the Kedusha. You can declare it before you send the carrier pigeon, but she's not hearing it. It has to be something you say to her. That's what I would think. Or maybe not. Maybe she doesn't have to be able to hear it. Is that true? I don't know. So, Al Kapanim, this is a nice clair in the understanding of Kedusha. Those of you who remember learning Kedusha in the yeshiva, to go back to understanding this, the first were Baruch Ben, Baruch Shmuel, B'Shem Reb Chaim, talks about the Amira, the declaration of Kedusha being a part of the Kedusha itself. And that's so, it would seem that the Teretz of the Har Tzvi is missing this aspect of the Kedusha. Let's move on to an Inyan of Machshava. In Sefer Bereishis, we have two enemies of the Jewish people. One, of course, is Esav. Halacha b'yedua she'esav seines Yaakov. In the later parashiyos, starting from Parashas Toldos, where Esav is born, we will have the story of this enemy. There's another enemy, and that's Lavan. Lavan appears in this week's parasha. And again, when Yaakov travels to the home of Lavan, and Lavan, a different story. The Torah doesn't say specifically that Lavan sought to destroy or they had hatred for the Klal Yisrael. Doesn't make such a declaration at all anywhere in the Torah. However, in Kol Zeh, we say Lavan Bikesh Lakaras Hakol. He was against us. The hatred of Esav we've seen throughout the generations, the hatred of the non-Jews to the Jew, of the anti-Semites to the Jew, we've seen it. And it comes from the hatred of Edom, of Esav. What about Lavan? What place does Lavan hold in the Maaseh Aveh Sim Labanim of hatred to Klal Yisrael? The Nitzim, in his introduction to Shir HaShirim, writes an interesting idea. He writes that Lavan's desire is for what the Jews own. He feels, as it says later, Hatsayn Saini V'chala Shataray Alihu. Feels the Jews stole everything from him. It's something that the Jews have, that they're successful, and it's taken from him. Now he says, Nichashti V'yivarcheni Hashem B'glalech. Talking out the other side of his mouth, he says, wow, the Jewish people have brought bracha to the world. They brought bracha to my house, and they accomplished. They really accomplished. Nevertheless, so he's talking two sides of the mouth. The Jews accomplished, they're capable, and yet they took everything from me. And this is what we see today, especially in regards to the non-Jewish world's attitude, as if Klal Yisrael took the land of Israel from a vibrant people that was working the land and that was created a state that was heavily populated and well taken care of. And the whole thing is it's not true. It was an empty desert with stragglers here and there, landowners and then people who tried to get what they could out of the land. And it's a two-faced hatred, a two-faced hatred. It is, on the one hand, Yivarcheni Hashem Miglalech, the person talks to you nicely, as if he's appreciative. On the other hand, in his heart, he feels, Hatzayin Tzayni V'chal Asher Taray Alihu. There are people like that in the world today, and it's very important that we, Klal Yisrael, just as we know we have to distance ourselves from the Esavs of the world, who have a hatred for us. So too those who are, so to speak, two-faced, who on the one hand laud the accomplishments of the Jewish people, and on the other hand feel that we're not entitled to what we accomplished, we have to watch out for them just as much. Today, the debate over what constitutes anti-Semitism. There are those who say if it's not love, if it's not Esav's anti-Semitism, it's not anti-Semitism. Because there are people today who just say the Jews don't deserve the land. Is there any doubt that the land of Israel, which in before 1948 could barely support people, didn't support anybody. You're talking about the couple of 100,000 people in the land. The British did a study during the in 47. They commissioned a study how many people could the land support, and the answer was about 600,000. And now the land is supporting 50-60 times that many, and Baruch Hashem is thriving. Why? Hashem benched Eretz Yisrael because of us. It's a recognition. I'm not telling you to go out and do political unrest. Just a recognition of the eternal Maisei Ovis Simim Abanim. The ace of those who hate us, and the anti-Semitism is written all over their faces, and those who talk nicely to us. You're accomplished people, but Atzai Tzaini Chashat Arayelihu. It's an insight into the Lavan aspect of Sefer Bereishis, the Esav aspect. You'll notice if you learn Lavan without Teresh HaBalpeh, all the stories of Lavan, he comes out smelling sweet. In the Teresh HaBiksavavit, which is the way he shows himself, he comes out looking sweet. Teresh HaBalpeh reveals what's going on really deep inside. Not even so deep, what's going on inside B'chol. Bikesh Lavan Makar HaSakel. And with that, Uplifting thought. Yes, uplifting thought, because we know that whatever trials and tribulations we go through in our galus, it's all part of a plan. It's all part of a plan from the very beginning. We need to see it and grow from it. And Bezras Hashem, we shall. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.